away from home. I could hear it all, and I wasn't even there. All I got was, Danny, I can't preach. I said, I knew that. But he called me a couple of days ago. Pray for them. They're traveling right now from out of state to here. And God's been good this year. He gave Bruce a job. Emmaus Bible College, he's set forever. He's a professor there. And after a long series of theological studies and ancient languages and this and that and the other thing. So praise God for that. I don't know where he goes to chapel. Do you guys?
Yeah, he goes to the, there's a group that meets at Emmaus. Mm. They've got a huge, chapel there.
Okay.
And so it is it's an assembly that services the downtown Beach area, but obviously a lot of people come in from the area.
Oh my goodness, that's huge. You lost in a mega church. Bruce, from here to a mega church, it must have cultural shock. So it is what it is. So keep that in our prayers. Next week we'll have Bill Van Dyke. He does our annual New Year's Eve message. So we're going to have it on the 28th instead of the 1st. And keep this Sunday night once a month in your prayers. We've been having young men come up and speak again. We've been doing it for 25 years, but we took a break. And we're back at it now, just once a month. That's been encouraging to the young people. So keep that in your prayers. We have a little fellowship meal afterwards. It's a good time of prayer and, young men. And they're doing good. So this coming month we have Tim Skiles, and then we're going to have, hopefully, Jerry, a friend of ours, and Pablo Montes is back with us again, Pablo Montes, and his entourage, I hope. So keep Pablo in your prayers. He's a real go-getter for the Lord, old Pablo. Our bus ministry is on vacation for the holidays, but keep that in your prayers, and all the faithful workers there, David, Steve, Dana, and others there, keep them all in your grace, Cook, keep that in your prayers. The good ministry, the bus ministry, with a lot of support behind it, that's a good thing. And the mission, keep the New Life Rescue mission in your prayers. We went there, they're giving him a situation downtown, Bill, and he's just telling them that they're allowed to stay there till they finish their meal. So he gives them a snack in the morning at 6 o'clock. That's when their meal's finished. So that's how he gets around there. Keep that in your prayer. New Life Rescue Mission. Keep it in your prayer. Along with Jimmy next door, who's in jail, and his wife, Tina. I don't know what's going on with that situation. Please keep that house ministry in your prayers. That's been a challenging situation, especially this year. We lost a couple over there, and I don't know. Keep it in your prayers. And all your family and loved ones and those on our bulletin, and Jenny and the rest of the people that are on our prayers, Grace's cousin, who's not doing very well at all, and Anne Marie Jarvis, a friend of ours, pray for her. She has breast cancer. Keep her in your prayers, please. Anything else I can mentioning, Dave, anything? You're a good memory for me. You're my other memory. That's it. Anybody have anything they need to? Oh, Steve's brother, Pat. Yeah, we forgot about Pat. He lost his ability to walk after a surgery on his heart. So keep that in your prayers. Okay, so keep that in your prayers. All right, that's it. We'll just pray and we'll get into this. Dear God, we do thank you for this time again, and we pray for today and all the things that have been lifted up and all the ministries we have and sick people and people traveling and other things such as that. And thank you for our ministries we have here, and ask you to be with us. pray for my health too. It's fallen down. Pray for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said, Bruce canceled, so I'll be taking this typical Christmas message that you're, these kind of messages, Christmas and stuff, you're boxed into a certain topic. So, and it's probably going on all over. It is that time of year again, though, when we begin to shop for loved ones and send out cards to people and eat all that yummy food and hear that Christmas music. Well, we actually hear that Christmas music around Halloween. But they're trying to desensitize us in this commercial type of holiday. They talk about reindeer, Santa Claus, the big savings events. But all in all, this is a good time of the year for Christians. We have the opportunity to talk about Jesus and to tell Jesus, I mean, to tell people that Jesus is the reason for the season. But Jesus is actually the reason for everyday life. He's just not the reason for the season. And we as Christians can get caught up too in the Christmas stories and the Christmas plays year after year, not really giving much thought. It's been tainted over the centuries, the Christmas story. And when you think of Christmas, what do you think of? Do we think of a hustle and bustle? Do we think of the shopping, chestnuts, or lost loved ones? Do we think about Jesus? Well, my question today is, from a different slant of the Christmas story, do we ever think about Israel? Because without Israel, there would be no Christmas story. For Christmas is in great measure about Israel and her dominion over the entire world. Well, you might say, well, Israel doesn't have any dominion over the world. They're only the size of Michigan. And they've pretty much been under domination from everybody their whole life, including now. Everybody wants to destroy this little place the size of Michigan. But the Christmas story is really about Israel and their dominion over the entire world. And we're going to look at that today. We're going to begin in the very famous story of Matthew chapter 1. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew 1. If you don't, just sit back and listen. I'll read. This message is probably, this passage is being read all over the entire world right now. And it does every year. Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as followed. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting her to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is in her conceived is from the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Most people think Matthew 1:21 is essentially the same thing as Jesus himself would say in John 3:16. They think there are parallel passages. They think that Joseph was being told that the child to be born to a virgin wife, her fiancé in modern terms, Mary, would give eternal salvation and forgiveness of sins to all who believe in him. See a majority of footnotes in Bible commentaries. It is true that Jesus gives everlasting life to all who believe in him, but that is not the point of this Christmas text. many people, lordship people, jump on this verse to try to prove their theology. They will say Jesus saves people from their sins, but not in their sins. Guess how many times in the entire Bible is the expression saved from sins occurs? Would you believe only once? Only right here is the expression. God, through an angel, is telling Joseph something actually quite different than the message Jesus himself would later give in John 3:16. And today, if we can grasp what the angel told Joseph, that day, it will open an understanding to the fullness of salvation, which came through Jesus and for him to accomplish. The angel says he shall save his people from their sins. First of all, we need to consider what his people are. What his people means. Most people try to tie John 3:16, his people, as a synonym for the world. In John 3:16, they say his people are all mankind. But his people clearly means Israel. Jesus came to save the house of Israel. He told his disciples to preach to Israel. Paul would say that the gospel and the power of it is to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. We see that Israel has rejected their king from the very start. You're in Matthew chapter 1. Flip over to Matthew chapter 2. We'll continue in the Christmas story. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, it's a command. It means to pay attention to it. It means to investigate it, search it, look into it. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them, "Where is the Christ was to be born?" So they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is written by the prophet." See, these chief priests and scribes and all the people knew the prophecies, but could care less. These Gentile wise men were astrologists. They saw a peculiar star and knew it had divine significance. They prepared the gifts to meet the king of the Jews. These wise men were Gentiles. And they were the first people to worship the king of the Jews, was Gentiles. You see three, it was probably a major rich caravan that pulled up in front of Herod's place. Probably several Gentile, rich, wise men gathering up their things. Jesus was rejected from the beginning, as we saw. They were troubled, all of Jerusalem. The wise men came and announced this, and the Pharisees, the scribes, knew the prophecies, could care less. They didn't go with these guys. When the angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus," the word means Yeshuev. Yeshuev. Yeshua saves, which is translated Jesus saves. The angel was saying to Joseph, "Call his name Jesus, for he will save his people, Israel, from their sins." What was meant by this, most people think, that this verse means that the angel is speaking that Jesus will give eternal life and forgiveness of sins to Israel, or Israel in the church. They're missing the point of the angel's message. If the Jews would have known the scriptures, they would have spoke of the Messiah being a national liberator. As Jesus said, "You search the scriptures and they speak of me." The Jews wanted their king to come their way, not his way. Jesus offered the kingdom to them time and time again. He showed millions of miracles, healed multitudes, but they still wanted to receive the kingdom and the Messiah their way. They weren't having no baby. They wanted a king to come in, take over Rome, and establish these guys. Jesus saving his people, Israel, from their sins means the deliverance from sin's deadly consequences, including Gentile domination, not eternal life, in this text. If they would have responded in faith and repentance at that time, Jesus would have saved them from Gentile domination. Israel is still under Gentile domination. We're going to read a lot of passages, and we're going to let the passages speak for themselves today. Look at Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah 9, if you don't know where it is, it's right before the New Testament. Zechariah 9. We'll look at Zechariah 9:9 and 9:10. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold," look into it, it's a command, "your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt of the foal of a donkey." This verse was fulfilled when Jesus did his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which we call Palm Sunday, Zechariah 9:9. There is a gap between Zechariah 9:9 and Zechariah 9:10. A very long gap. But it didn't have to be. If the nation would have received him at this fulfilled prophecy, he would have delivered them from Gentile domination, would eventually die on a cross from Roman instigation, then other prophecies would have unfolded like Daniel's 70th week, and so on. But Israel did not want to receive their king and their kingdom his way. The Lord, in his great omniscience, knew this, and in his great wisdom and grace, has took Israel's rejection and made it a blessing for all. The time of the gap between 9 and 10, God had another plan. And this is the grace of God at this wonderful time we celebrate. That his son would come to his own, Israel. He would be an infinite God. He would be in the bloodline of his very people that would reject him and his plan. To open the door for all people to enter in. I'd say around AD 60, the Apostle John would write these words in the Gospel of John to Jewish believers, which we are studying now. John chapter 1, verse 10. "He was in the world, Jesus, and the world was made through him, Jesus, and the world did not know him. He came unto his own, Israel, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Because of Israel's rejection, anyone may come. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. We bring you good tidings, for today in Israel a Savior is born. People today still reject the message, you know, from the one who was called Jesus. His message was and will be forever. Believe in me, and you have everlasting life. That is the message of Jesus at this time and the next time. If you believe Jesus is your guarantor for eternal life, you have eternal life. That is Jesus' message, that he is the guarantor for eternal life for those who believe it. Are you thankful today for the King of the Jews? I am. Who left the divine realms of heaven, who veiled his glory and was born as a human like you and I. Let's look at another famous Bible prophecy that's probably being read all over the planet again today. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, here's another commandment. Pay attention to it. Look into it. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Born of a virgin is a fitting way for God to take on flesh. It provides an explanation for the sinless nature of Jesus and qualifies this infinite divine person to bear an infinite number of sins for all humanity on the cross. What a wonderful God we have. We not only have the pleasure of worshiping him, simply by faith. That's all we have to do. As John would write, behold, again, another commandment. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Praise the Lord. His people Israel have the biggest part of the Christmas story. We have enjoyed the blessings of their king all these years. He's broken down the wall of separation of Jew and Gentile. And he has made an age of his very own, the church age, where he has taken us who simply believe in him like a bride. And we're to love him like a woman loves her husband. And we're to love him like a husband loves his wife and gives his life for it, as the scriptures would say. What a picture of love God plans for us to read. What a salvation he has provided for us. We have a God full of grace, as we see, and his grace is everlasting. His grace is everlasting. And we've enjoyed this wonderful celebration of this King of the Jews for all these years. We've claimed him as ours. He's Israel's king, you know. We're beneficiaries of their rejection, and we've been blessed by it. But his grace is everlasting, and he has not forgotten Israel. One day he will come and save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 10. This is after the gap of Zechariah 9. Now we're in Zechariah 9:10, which has not taken place yet, because we're still enjoying the blessings of the rejection of his people. Zechariah 9:10 now. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. Jesus will come back to his people when all nations are gathered against them, when they have no place to escape. Then the prophecy will be fulfilled. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joel 2:2. As Paul quotes in Romans chapter 10. Speaking of Israel, Paul says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul explains this famous Christmas story more in Romans. Let's look at Romans. Romans chapter 11. Paul explains the Christmas story, how you and I, Gentiles, received this blessing of their king. He's their king. Paul says this. I say then, has God cast away his people? Romans chapter 11, 1. Certainly not, Paul says, for I am an Israelite. Verse 7, Paul says, what then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. As it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, to this very day. David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so they do not see, and bow down their back always. Paul goes on to say that Israel's rejection is not final. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more is their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are of my flesh, and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Paul, a picture of one born out of new due time. He shows a picture of a stiff-necked people who did not receive their deliverer and delivers us. He also shows his forgiveness and grace to a stiff-necked people. And we too can be stiff-necked people and stubborn. But their king will come. He will come again. And he will rescue Israel over the Gentile rule, over satanic rebellion and control. Here are a few passages. We're going to read them. When the babe in a manger will save his people from their sins. Isaiah 53, a very familiar passage we read. It's a picture of Israel parked in a corner, and the world against them. They're going to take them out of here. They've rejected their Messiah. And this is the picture of Isaiah 53 that we read on Sunday mornings as Gentiles. But this is a prophetic portion of Scripture of Israel they will quote these words. They didn't want the baby. They wanted a king. They will get their king. Isaiah 53. When they finally recognize their king and savior, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him, stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When he made his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and he made intercession for the transgressor. That is a picture of the people of Israel when they're in desperate need. Here's another prophecy, Zechariah 12:10. They will quote that verse I just read. They will quote this verse, what I'm about to read. Zechariah 12:10. I will pour out on the house of David and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look upon me who they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day, there shall be great mourning in all of Jerusalem. In that day when the world is against Israel and ready to destroy them with armies satanically influenced, not as a babe in a manger, but as a king in the fierceness and vengeance to deliver his people from extinction. Revelation chapter 19. Their Messiah came to them as a baby in the manger. They wanted a king. They wanted the deliverer. This is how they will see their deliverer. He will give them their request. He will come as a king to deliver them. Revelation 19. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, look upon it, a white horse, and he who sat on it was called Faithful and True. And in his righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a white robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he will strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name which is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the angel said unto Joseph, Mary has conceived a child from the Holy Spirit. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now that is a great message with great tidings. Well, I hope that this Christmas message, from a little bit different slant, was a blessing. One day, Israel will enjoy the same festivities as we have through all these centuries. As the wise men and the kings brought gifts to the baby, and the king Herod and the Jews wanted nothing to do with the baby born in the manger. Future Israel and its kings and priests will be able to bring the gifts to the king, not in a manger, but on a throne. They will celebrate Christmas like we do. They will fulfill the stories of the Gentiles bringing gifts unto the babe in the manger, and they worshiped him. We have come to worship the King of the Jews. Revelation 21:22, and we'll close. John gives us a vision of Israel in the future, fulfilling this particular Christmas story. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city has no need for the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminates it. The Lamb is its light. I am the light of the world. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Day and night. Praise the Lord for this little story that God has given us in Matthew chapter 1. The story of this Savior born in Israel, King of the Jews, who came to save his people Israel from their sins. And they rejected him. And through that blessing, we have entered in to a wonderful privilege to be called sons of God. And one day, they will fulfill this story, as we just read. This story of Christmas hasn't even been fulfilled yet. It is a story of Israel. One day, God will come, and we look forward to that day, the blessed hope in the glorious appearing of that great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, to take us home, us bride home, to be with him. And then Jesus will come. And he will take his bride to his father, Israel. For that is his bride. Israel is the Father's bride. And he will make new heavens and new earths. Praise the Lord, huh? Praise the Lord today. Merry Christmas. Let's close. Dear God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus and his awesome word, his awesome plan, his omniscience, how he can take a rejected people of his own and turn it into a blessing for all. We're thankful for that wonderful gift, the gift of eternal life that is found in the person of Jesus. And his plan is just infinite. It is just astounding. It's just to think of how God could become a man and redeem mankind from a lost state. We pray today that if anybody has not received the best and greatest gift of all, which is the gift of eternal life, which is found through Jesus, that today would be the day that they would place their faith in Him for their guarantor of eternal life. And we praise You and thank You for Your word that we see later that will go on and we shall be no more pain. There shall be no more sickness. There shall be no more sorrow. You will wipe away every tear. And we are grateful for that. We thank You, Father, for this time now. Bless our families as we go and celebrate this wonderful Christmas. And we pray for the nation of Israel, Your people, who have rejected You and have bad times coming upon them. May we be a light in this world. May we tell people about the great gift of eternal life that is found only in Jesus. And may we do so today. We give thanks in Jesus' name.